This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
We are beginning day two, official day two, of the Abbess 86th get-together. And before we go inside for the first lecture this morning, which is going to be Axel Hecklau, we had last evening's show, which was pretty good. We'll talk about here in just a minute. But a couple of guys that I'm wanting to visit with. One is part of the talent then also, who actually coordinates the street magicians, who I guess you're still coordinating them. Well, then I've got John Strickland. Hey, John.
Hey, Scotty. How are you?
Fine. Are you still doing that? I know you're performing, but are they?
No, I'm not the organizer anymore. Okay. The Chamber of Commerce has taken over.
Okay.
Which is fine with me.
Yeah. Sure. It's like, just put me in coach. I don't want to be the coach.
That's right. Yeah.
And then also with Pedro Nieves. Hey, Pedro from Magic Inc.
Hello. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. So tell me, this is your first time?
First time, finally.
Something's wrong with this picture. I mean, I just assumed you were here all the time, you know. It's just down the road. I mean, Chicago's not that far.
It's a three-hour drive away, and I just now was able to make it.
So are you just saying that, like, you're giving an excuse, like you got to work, you got to keep the store open or something? Something lame like that?
That's exactly right. You have to have the shop staff, you have to make the time, but I've had a lot of people invite me, and Sterk's been, you know, asking me to come in for at least 15 years.
Yeah.
So eventually he wore me out.
So the two of you drove over together?
Yes, that was a good drive, yeah.
So what was it that convinced him, you finally said that convinced him?
Well, I think part of it was what a terrific lineup we have this year.
Oh, my gosh.
Especially with Piff and the crew from Germany. And, of course, Mac is here now, kind of on a semi-regular basis now.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. And Lance, too.
Yeah, and Lance, too. So to have all
the
those
Evisons.
Folks, and the Evisons, yeah. To be honest, I don't think I've seen the Evisons perform here. Since I've been coming, and this is my 19th year.
Mm-hmm. Now, you took over from Wilma Wrench as the official organist. Mm-hmm. What year was that?
Let's see, I believe she retired around 2013.
Okay.
And two or three years we were left without an organ player, live music. And I looked around and I thought, well, nobody else is going to do it. So I guess it's me. So that's when I decided
to jump
in. I love
your music and the different nuances that you, and you can play it. Seems like every keyboard of any kind.
Oh, good. I'm glad it seems like that. The illusion is complete.
The illusion is complete. But you have been coming then for 19 years. So what are some of your memories of some of the best times that you've seen? Or maybe something that was bad that stood out?
One that sticks with me still is Alan Shaxson.
Mm-hmm.
From England.
Yep.
I saw his act here. I did not know who he was.
Yeah.
So, and I remember very distinctly seeing him perform the Thumb Tie.
Yeah.
And the Hydrostatic Glass, which are both now features in my act.
Hmm.
And he also performed the Human Gasometer, where he breathes fire through a tube, basically.
Yeah. And like a gas lamp, basically.
And, right. Yeah. And he never published that routine because it was actually quite dangerous with the chemicals he used.
He sold it. I bought that.
He did. Yeah. Have you ever did it?
I did, and then before long it went bad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I never knew that he sold or published, but that was a fascinating effect. And yesterday's lecture, where Clemens Ilgner from Germany performed his version of it, I want to soak that one up too. So
yeah.
I don't know what it is. I have a strange affinity for British magicians for some reason. Mm-hmm. I'm just really attracted to their style. I think it's very sarcastic, much like myself.
And you have this past year been the president of the national, president, I should say, of the Society of American Magicians.
That's
and
right.
You're just wrapping up your year. You're going to be coming into Magic Texas, which is going to be a phenomenal epic convention, which people should attend. I say, if you're only going to attend one convention, that is the one in your lifetime you should go to, because everything's going to happen there.
100% I'm going to be there, because that is where I'm going to be doing the transfer to my successor, John Midgley of Tennessee, my good friend.
Yeah.
So if you really want to see me leave office, be in Texas. And who knows? I got a couple more weeks. I could be leaving office in disgrace. Got a couple more weeks to ruin my reputation.
Well, we can only hope.
Yeah. But
we're all on the edge, right?
We've all got our fingers crossed. But I didn't want to rob John and our other officers of a month because this convention is much later than we usually have.
Yeah.
We usually do it in July. So I didn't want...
Well, you've had it in Vegas like in January or February in the past.
We did, but we didn't do a transfer there.
Oh, okay.
So the term goes from July to July.
Oh, so you had a longer term than most.
I had a slightly longer term than most, but this past Monday, which I think was the 30th, mm-hmm. we did a virtual installation. So John Midgley is officially in. I'm officially out.
No, I don't know why I'm talking to you then. Well, nobody.
Well, it's because I'm accessible, cheap and available. Like, yeah. It's how I promote my...
I love my button up. Wearing here, about John Stark, yeah.
So he's. I didn't want to rob him of a whole month of in office and of duties during in, and then we'll do another one in Texas where I'll actually give him the gavel. We'll do the traditional exchange of gifts. Mm-hmm. I have a doozy of a gift to give him. I think he's going to like it. We'll have a great time in Texas.
Well, John is known for being an artist and painting these pictures of people, so I'm only guessing you've drawn a stick figure of him.
The only thing I will say, it is art, but it is not a drawing.
Okay, well, there we go. I want to remind everybody that's going to be starting on August the 30th, and then it'll be going through the 2nd of September, or the 3rd, I think, of September. And one of the things, too, is we've got going to be having Lance Burton actually have... Lance and friends the night before, the Thursday night before, then things start officially on Friday morning. So there'll be a lot of great things. There are some sessions that are happening in which that you'll have a choice of one or the other, much like whenever that you're Magic Live. And anyhow, things are going to be a little bit different here this year than what we've ever had in the past. So I think you're going to enjoy it. Well, I want to ask you then, Pedro, as far as since this being your first, and we're only into the second day, what has been your experience so far?
So this is actually very, not that other conventions were not pleasant, but this is a very pleasant, laid-back event.
Yeah.
And I love walking around and seeing people jump out of cars and hug each other or greet each other. All the people in town know all the magicians. Yeah. And I love how they celebrate magic in town very differently than what I was expecting. It's a very pleasant experience. It seems like a chilled, laid back community. It's like a family event.
Have you had a chance to last night go to the Legion Hall?
Yes.
We closed it down.
That's right. They kicked us out eventually.
What time? I always wonder what time. Is it 2 o'clock?
At Wednesday night, it was 2:30.
Okay. Okay. And did you go outside and throw cards across the building?
No, but when we left, there were plenty of cards all over the floor. That was interesting to see.
And John told you about what was going on there?
They walked me through the tradition, I guess.
Yep. Street of cards.
That's right. So it's scaling cards across across the street, right?
So there wasn't anybody or anything in particular that you had come here to see necessarily. I guess you came to see Piff. I mean, you were saying it, John,
I came to see the Abbots get together.
Just the experience.
That's the goal.
That's a great answer. To experience the experience.
Absolutely. It's been described as a different event than anything else. And I did not realize how different it was until I was here.
You will never go to any other convention where they actually have a graveyard tour.
Well, no.
I'm going to make sure that I take Pedro on Al the Only's graveyard tour. Which is later today. And also, we're planning a stop at the American Museum of Magic on Sunday before we head back to Chicago.
Well, be sure and take a picture of me next to my headstone this afternoon.
Okay.
While I'm above the ground. Well, I'm glad you guys came. Glad you're enjoying it. And John, I can't tell you how it's always great to see you, my friend. It's just you always tickle me. I don't know what it is about you. You got a great smile, great laugh, and you have great magic to do. I love your cups and balls and everything that you do.
Thank you. It won't be long before our paths cross again in Texas.
That's right. We'll be doing a similar chat and see how... you were thinking about how the convention is going there. And Pedro, always like to stop at Magic Inc. and see what kind of new things have you got, by the way, that you guys are showing at the shop now. What's newest?
We're working on, we're going to be releasing John Stark's new trick in a couple of weeks, I hope. Mm-hmm. And we are finally putting video for some of our classic routines, Kids of Miracle. We have Jasper Nee's thumb tie. Mm-hmm. That's finally on video. Actually, Junk Stark has been helping with that immensely as well. And we have J. Marshall's handling for the dual control as well. So all that stuff is actually getting video. All those are things that are going to get released within the next, hopefully, month or two.
A Jaspernese thumb tie is the one that Matt King uses.
Right.
So have you got Mac on the video as well?
Or? No, we are too nervous to talk to Matt King directly. So we did not call him. He's big time. We're small time.
Yeah.
So we didn't call him, but I think I mentioned it that he's a fan of that method.
We can't afford the Fig Newtons. It's just the extra expense is just going to push over the edge.
Exactly. So who's running the shop while you're away?
That's a great question. No, the
lunatics are running the asylum.
Oh, well, that was the case before. Now okay. I'm out of there. So no, we have great staff and the guys in the shop are just absolutely terrific. There's 100 years of medic experience between all of them and hopefully it'll still be there by the time I come back on Sunday.
Yep. One last thing, the Rhapsody Theater. Have you guys spent much time or gone over to the?
Yeah, many times. Okay. Ricardo Rosencrantz has been very generous with our SAM assembly and the magic community and has made arrangements for us to participate in a lot of things. So
he's sponsoring also for Magic Texas some of the swag.
That's right. That's breaking news that I happened to know about last week, but we can break it now. Yeah. That's fine. So very generous of Ricardo to do that, and I will be thanking him profusely.
We're thanking him right now. Yeah. Please do.
Yeah. And so
the theater's great.
Yeah, the theater's
I've never
great.
Been there yet.
And I'll tell you what's exciting, too, is they have coming up a screening of Sean Farquhar's new movie.
Which we're going to be having at the Magic Texas.
We'll have it at Texas, and a few days after Texas, it'll be in Chicago.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
But don't wait to Chicago to see it. But need to come
watch
to
it
Dallas.
Twice. That's
watch it twice.
Point.
That's yeah, right. That's right. It. So what do you think about the Rhapsody Theater?
Oh, it's a beautiful venue. Mm-hmm. It is, and the caliber of the shows. I mean, this year alone, I think he's had David Williamson for a month. He had Alexandre Duvivier for a month. Joshua Jay, Andy Glauwin,
Alan
Zabreg, Rob Zabreg. I mean, and you can, free parking in the city of Chicago. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Free parking in Chicago.
That's right. Yeah. Free parking in Chicago, worth the price of admission, literally.
I think that the end of the world is in sight.
Well, I think it also speaks to Ricardo's generosity.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Well, thank you guys very much. I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of this convention, seeing you maybe over at the Legion Hall.
You bet, Scotty.
So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Pedro Nieves and John Serp. Scotty Adams. Last night's show, we talked about a little bit here in the podcast, but since we haven't gone into a lot of detail, I thought it'd be kind of interesting to talk with the person who was actually the master of ceremonies who introduced each of the acts last night, BJ Mallon. Hey there, BJ.
Hey, Scotty. How you doing?
Fantastic. Good to see you here again. You are a staple, and you worked at Abbott's, or work at, still do, or?
I work there on and off. I've got a different full-time job at this point, but whenever Greg needs help, I still show up. I'm just a few blocks away.
Do you ever, or did you ever actually handcraft some of the wood and saw and, you know, glue and all that?
So they never really trusted me with heavy equipment or anything very sharp.
Hammers and screwdrivers.
Right. The extent of it was like the hat tears and things like that. I made some of those back in the day, but for the most part, it was just behind the counter demonstrating.
Yeah. Now, you've been coming to this for how many years?
Oh, Lord. Well, I moved to Colon just before I went into the fifth grade, and I started coming, you know, really? Started coming as a young magic enthusiast and stuff early on. So, shoot, I couldn't even quantify it at
a
this
long
point.
Time.
It's a long time. Yeah, it's most of my life.
My point in asking that question then is because you have seen so many people come and go, and you've also been intimately involved in which you have been a master of ceremonies for several shows as well. Plus, what was the guy's name who used to be the opening?
Gordon Miller.
Gordon Miller.
Gordon
was.
Miller, yep. Yeah. He used to traditionally kick off the event. We've got the banners that fall with the part of the Abbott Spectacular
with
finale.
The and all that.
Yeah, yep. That's we kick off the convention with the finale. That's it. We've kind of done things backwards here in Colon, but that's just been the tradition. And Gordon used to do that. And a few years ago, due to some health things, that responsibility was passed on to my shoulders. And, you know, a lot of the shoes that I've had to fill here at Abbott's have come kind of in a bittersweet fashion, but it's truly an honor to carry on the tradition.
Well, so that leads me to asking what would be one of your outstanding memories, good, bad, or that is different.
So one that really stands out to me is when I was probably 14 years old or so, I was hanging out with my old mentor, Dick Oslin, and his crew, Jerry Conklin, Carol Fox, Ab Dixon, all of those guys.
Wow.
Yeah. And we came into the dealer's room. It was set up here in the high school the day before the convention started, and everybody was getting set up. And that year, Al Cohen had a booth mm-hmm. set up in the dealer's room.
Yeah.
And he learned that I didn't have a chop cup. And so he gave me my first chop cup. And a couple hours later, I was on Jerry Conklin's porch and Carol Fox was teaching me my first chop cup routine. And an hour or two after that, I was at dinner with Dick Oslin. He leaned over and said that that actually wasn't Carol's routine. He's kind of got a creative memory. And, you know, at the time, I was just a punk young kid and these were just my old friends, right? But looking back, I've really, really been blessed with the people that I got to learn from.
Yep. And I know this means a lot to you because I remember you've got right there, then the Abbott's.
Permanently inked on my my arm, the Meta Abbott's tattoo, tattooed by an Abbott's performer on an Abbott's performer at the Abbott's Magic Get Together, the Abbott's Magic logo.
I remember a few years ago whenever he first did that, and that I was here for that. I've got that. I'll post another picture of that over here on the blogs. You can go back and see that then as well. Well, that was how old were you? A teenager, I guess, about that time.
Yeah, I was 13, 14 years old at mm-hmm. that point when I was learning a lot from Dick Oslin. Yeah.
So it was really kind of the camaraderie and the friendships, I guess. It sounds like what I hear you saying, that it wasn't necessarily a show that stood out or somebody who had performed such and such, but it was kind of the way that they had engaged you and accepted you really as an equal in a way.
Yeah, for me, that's really what it's always mm-hmm. been about here. I mean, there's absolutely been some outstanding shows that have been mm-hmm. truly hilarious and memorable. But for me, it's always, it's the familial atmosphere. It's, yeah. it's the fact that when people get to Colon, everybody is kind of the same. Yeah. People tend to check their egos at the door. Yeah. And, it's, you know, I remember, hearing a deep bellowing voice asking for the mustard night, in the American Legion after the show. And you turn around and there's Harry Blackstone Jr. Junior,
yeah.
you know, you're passing him the mustard. Like, what the hell is going on? This is just
it's surreal.
It really is, yeah. you know. And yeah. or looking around at the Legion at the show, and you mm-hmm. see, you know, legends in magic who've had television specials in their own theaters next mm-hmm. to the local drunk, and yeah and right. everybody's just laughing and having a great time.
I think it's great. Also, all of the different people who are tourists that come into town, knowing this is Magic Week, and boy, the times that I've been over there at the hall. I remember, I think it was last year, there was a bridal party or something that came. And I was entertaining over there, and they started throwing cash at me. It's like, okay, I'll show you something else.
Right, right, yeah. No, it's kind of become a bit of a legend in the local area, yeah. you know. But this is where the magicians come and have mm-hmm. fun for 4 days, and yeah. there's not much of a more fun time than when you come together with those who make fun for a living, and they're right. having fun together.
It is a passion, and everyone here has that passion. They share it with each other more than they have others. And one of the things I've been hearing the last day or two that I've been starting to record these podcast reports is how that because of the size of Colon that you run into everybody, as opposed to, say, like a Magic Live, there are so many different places within a larger city, obviously, people can go. But here you've only got two or three choices. I mean, whether it's going to be, I guess, Curly's or Five Star Pizza or the Legion.
The camaraderie is somewhat forced.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
it forced really camaraderie.
Is. Yeah, and but
it'd be the title of this forced camaraderie.
Forced camaraderie. There you go. And it's actually. I often tell people, you know, you can go to other magic conventions that are taking place in a major metropolitan area in a hotel or convention center, and there will be people in that building that don't even know that there are magicians there and a magic event going on.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're in Colon during the Abbott's Magic Get Together, the only people that are here because of magic. The
yep.
locals that don't like it, they plan their vacation out of town
out of
around
town.
around these 4 days.
Yeah, yeah.
They want nothing to do with us weirdos,
right,
you know?
Exactly.
So
I'm sure there are some.
Well, yeah, believe it or not.
Even though this is the capital of magic.
Right. Well, I'm sure if you're from like the stool capital of the world, there'd probably be some people who wouldn't like stools.
I guess that's true. You've heard all the jokes. I know Greg Border has told me that then also. And you're going to be coming up then also. I'm really excited about the fact that you're going to be a master of ceremonies. That Mike Miller, who has been booking talent for a number of years for not only Abbott's, but me at the SAM convention and others then as well. But he had booked you then for coming later this month, I guess, late August and early September.
Yeah, yeah. Labor Day weekend. I'll be down there in Arlington for the TAOM.
Have you ever been to a TAOM?
I have not. This is going to be my first time down there. I'm really looking forward to it. I haven't been to Texas since my last college tour down there prior to COVID in 2019. So wow. I'm looking forward to spending some time with Magic friends and filling my gut with Whataburger.
You're exactly right, because that's the home of Whataburger. Yeah. I think it started in Corpus Christi, I believe. It's there in Texas. It's really good. And the fact that this is just going to be phenomenal, because that again, Mike Miller had booked a lot of magicians, as he did here last year with all the Japanese acts. And that was the thing last year, that those guys are so great. He's like, we got to have you know, Magic Texas.
They are unbelievable. And I
remember a show that it was quite that good and solid every act.
It's, you know, it was really good to be the weakest link on that show.
But you were the one who's actually going to be coming.
A couple of those guys are coming as well. I think that's part of the reason why Mike's bringing me back, because he wants to see me pronounce the names again. So
you did a good job with that.
I appreciate it.
And one of the things, of course, that you were known for, just the clever poetry that comes to mind.
Yeah, so I've been writing some silly poems for my kids and families and my own amusement, and it really lends itself well to MC work. As you saw last night, when a transition was supposed to be 30 seconds but turned into about a minute and a half, it's great to be able to keep that time moving and keep the show flowing along.
It really does, and it's something that's entertaining, and before long people are saying, how can we remember that? Well, I guess the reason you remember it is because you created them. You wrote them.
I wrote them, and they have that and some useless trivia is about all that tends to stick in my head. I don't know why.
So give me a useless trivia bit.
Oh, geez. Now I'm put on the spot.
Let's say, do you know anything about snails or porcupines?
No, but I did see on the way here, I saw a snail on the side of the road that was crying. And I said, what the heck's going on? What's the matter? He said, I just got mugged by a turtle. I said, you got mugged by a turtle? How did that happen? He said, I don't know. It happened so quickly.
There we go. Yeah, those kinds of things keep things rolling.
Right.
And sometimes you don't need very much. It's like, okay, you ready? Okay, let's go.
Yeah.
You know, when you're an MC.
Yep. It's good to be able to think on your toes and be in the moment there when you're an MC, and also to recognize that you're kind of the liaison between the audience and the show. You are part of the show, but you aren't the show. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you got to get out of the way.
I have said that. I have written some articles about MC work, and that's one of the things in which I kind of feel that you are a referee, like at a football game. You know, you're right in the thick of the action, but you are not one of the key players, and you don't want people to even know that you're even notice you necessarily, because the focus should be on the acts.
Right. My job is to make the acts look better and to make the show flow smoothly.
Right.
Oftentimes, too, right before the show, something I might have been planning on doing, somebody else might have a similar bit, and it's time to throw in an audible there, and you know, it's my job to be ready to do that.
Yeah. Have there been times in which you might recall when somebody, an act had planned on something and then another act was going to be doing the same, like Linking Rings, for an example. There are a lot of guys who do rings. I mean, Chris Capehart's rings are different from Oscar Munoz's rings or whatever else. I don't know if that's your place or whether that's the producer or the person who would be booking of saying, hey, do or don't do this. Or have you ever had to adjudicate a situation like that, or are you just going MC?
No, absolutely. If you find out, it's happened here where I was planning on doing some fire eating in the show and someone else was planning on doing the fire eating as well. So that means as the MC, my job's to figure something else out. Right. I'm not the hired act. That guy's going to eat fire. And tonight I'm not. So that's just part of, you got to roll with the punches. Yeah, you know?
That's true. I remember once I was performing at the Magic Island and I used to do the Lincoln coat hangers that Mike Cave knew, but there was a company, a group called Magic Inc. Vanishing. I think it was Vanishing Inc. Anyhow, that they did this, and I had to cut that out of my act because they were doing it. You know, and that was what they were known for. So I think that is important that you defer to the one who is actually going to be booked for the show,
right?
Because
you're
coming to see them, not you.
And quite frequently, I do almost no magic at all when I'm doing MC work. You know, I'm dependent upon my gift of gab, because I don't want to be, you know, out there in the middle. If I don't have a routine that I can cut off at any point, I don't want to be in the middle of it and get the high sign that that next act is ready, you
cut,
know?
Cut, yeah.
So, right.
That's a difficult thing. Well, that's kind of one of the funny things about Chris Capehart. We were just listening to his lecture, and one of the things that he does oftentimes, while there is some process going on, whether that a person's counting the cards, which is boring or whatever, then he's telling a story. And then when the person's finished, you say, oh, forget about that story.
Right. Yep.
And I remember, it seems like there was somebody else who had I think Rich Block had done that before. I've seen him when he's on stage. He'll start into it, and then he'll say, oh, never mind. He'll throw away the ropes or whatever. So
right.
It's a clever little bit. Well, BJ, sorry. Thank you very much. I'm glad that you had a moment to share with us. Looking forward to seeing you in about a month over Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you're going to have a great time. It's going to tell everybody else they should be registering for that convention. If you're not here, even if you are here, you should be registering for that convention, because that is going to be just one convention that's going to be knocked out of the park because of all the FISM winners who are coming in. It's not to be repeated kind of a thing. And if you go to magictexas.com, you can see where there are the acts that have been booked. However, you may not recognize them, and that's because they don't work in the U.S. very often they're busy.
I'm the only American booked that entire convention, believe it or not.
I think you are.
Yeah.
Others like Sean Farquhar, but you know, he's Canadian.
He's Canadian. Yeah, it's close, but no cigar.
But that's my point. There are others whose names you might recognize, thinking, okay, well, I've seen them at conventions like him. But yeah, I think you are the only American, actually.
International diplomacy is on my shoulders.
It is indeed. So with Magic Word Podcast, that was BJ Ballin, Scotty out. As we were kind of going around the dealer's room, one of the people I had planned on running into, and I always know that I do, is my best friends in magic right here is Don Weiberg, the past international president of the IBM. I say, Don Weiberg. Hey, Don.
Hey, yes, that's me.
And you've been coming here for how many years? 40 plus years, 60 years?
More than that. Not continuous, but we were just turned 59. So 60 some years ago, we stayed at an old farm out on the edge of town, the Thompsons. And I remember Mrs. Thompson said, well, you know, you're going to be busy with the activities and that, but I can prepare breakfast for you. So the following morning, we came down for breakfast, bacon, eggs, and the fresh eggs and fresh bakery and everything. And when it was all done, I said, well, how much do I owe you? And she said, well, that'll be $1.50. So I threw $3 down on the table. She said, oh, no, that's $1.50 for both of you. 75 cents for this big dinner, a big breakfast. And then she said, if you come back, you know, maybe you want supper. Yeah, okay, we'll give it a shot. And we had chicken dinner that night, and that was $3. And again, I laid $6. Oh, no, that's $3 for both of you.
Oh, my gosh.
So we ate very well, and the Thompsons got to be good friends of ours.
Yeah.
And we stayed there for a few years, and we stayed in Sturgis for a while. So we've been coming a long, long time.
So over those years, you have so many different memories in different places. Yeah. I know that when you've also brought your RV and you've hooked up in different places and you camped and now you're staying like in a place that's a mobile home over there in places. Right. But also the acts. It's not necessarily just the acts, but there might have been something perhaps that sticks out in your mind that might have happened at the Legion or might have been at the cemetery or wherever. You know, what kind of is one of the things
It was 1974 when the Weibergs were on one of the shows. We were doing our version of the Tom Palmer Act.
Oh, yeah. Which later became.
With Tom's blessing. And we had borrowed an illusion, a sewing in half illusion from friends of ours, the Pasankos. They went by the name of Ken and Louise Diamond. And this is an old, archaic illusion. It's kind of hard to describe, but it was nothing like what we saw John Meisner do the other night. It was just a couple of boxes on a table. And the boxes tipped up and were held in an upright position on little TV tray stands, so that when the girl or Joyce got in the box, we lowered the boxes and sawed her in half and so forth. I had a couple of little bits that Tom Palmer never had, which he thought were very, very funny.
Okay.
One of which, you know, the illusion where you put the two blades in to separate the girl and you will go to kind of pull them apart, or you have to pull her
hesitate
head.
Hesitate a little bit.
Yeah, well, when I would do, Joyce had a long red fall of the wig. So as I reached to pull her head a little, I pulled the wig off, which got a big laugh. And as I tossed the, you know, got rid of the wig, I threw it right on her face. So she, but at the end of the thing, the illusion such that she saw it in half, separated, and I finally have succeeded in doing so. And with that, I go to make a dove disappear with a fire blank gun. Well, the blank gun didn't go off. And as I fired the blank gun, looked down the barrel, which was stupid of me, boom, of course, I was shot, and I fell dead between the two halves of the illusion. But when I fell back, I hit one of these tray stands, and it flipped up in the air and came down and hit me in the nose. And the glasses were all, you know, chitty-wampus. the nose was broken.
Started bleeding?
No, it didn't bleed. It just caught me across the bridge. And of course, it puffed up like a balloon. And of course, Joyce was still kicking, separated. Drop the curtain. Well, Ken and Louise had been on earlier, and they had kind of a fog machine, which depended upon dry ice.
Yeah.
So as I'm laying there, they closed the curtain, and everybody thought the ending of the act was better than Tom Palmer's. But, and of course, give me some ice. The only ice they could find was dry ice.
Oh, no.
Which compounded the situation. But I finally managed to survive. Now, the irony of all of this was Northwest Airlines had a magazine, as many airlines did at one time, and they did a feature on the Abbott get-together, and whose picture is in the magazine, a big picture of Joyce and I doing the act.
Yeah.
Now, Ken and Louise, Ken worked for Northwest Airlines. He was a pilot. He just barely got a mention in the article. And needless to say, I kind of lorded that over him. But just recently, when Mike Caveney wrote the book on Sawing the Lady in Half,
yeah,
before it was published, we got talking about this. And he said, boy, I wish I could get pictures of Jack Wynn's Sawing the Half. I said, you're in luck.
You're talking to the right guy.
Right. So I managed to contact Louise Pasenko, who, you know, Ken has passed on. So I was able to provide Mike Caveney with the pictures of the Gwynn illusion, and I get credit in his book.
Yeah.
And he misspelled my name, but that's okay.
he put Scott Wells instead of Don Weinberg. He misspelled completely.
Right, not even close.
Not even close. Yeah.
But so we have many fond memories here. It's just been wonderful.
What a fond memory. Well, Don, thanks very much. Well, glad to see you here.
You know, I could go on.
I know.
As we did for 3 hours on one of your podcasts.
One time I do recommend that people go back and listen to the one where we talked about Chicago, magicians in Chicago, when we went through all those guys who were the Chicago Roundtable. And some other kinds of things. So, you can go back and hear Don and I talk about a lot of things that are magical related.
If I may, just I mentioned this Roundtable podcast the other day to someone. And I said, it all started with a picture that was drawn by Salvador Sala of all of the people, magicians, who came to the Chicago Roundtable. And I said, I put together this little podcast of Scott, mm-hmm. and starting with Werner Dorning. Mm-hmm. And I talked about how Joyce and I were doing a part of a show in Chicago one time. And we were packing up after the show with the boxes and so forth. And Dorney walked by and he said, hey, kid, don't you wish you had talent instead of luggage? And I thought, oh, I'm crushed. But I mentioned some of this Dorney stuff. And one of Dorney's distant relatives heard the podcast.
Yeah.
Because there were some other stories involved in Dorney, too. So he put together, he was writing a book, I guess, kind of a family history. And he had a cartoonist illustrate a little, what you call a little comic strip.
Yeah.
With one of, an animated cartoon with one of my Dorney stories, which was not mine, but it was about Dorney walking into Joe Berg's magic shop.
Yeah.
And Joe Berg had just received a shipment of flash paper.
Yeah.
And Dorney always had a lit cigar, you know, and he walked in. Joe was in the back room, and Dorney walked in, and he flicked the ashes of the cigar onto the flash paper, and all you heard was, whoosh! And Joe Berg came out. He said, what'd you do with my flash paper? Dorney just said, what flash paper? And this fella has, I have a little animated cartoon strip of this incident. Yeah. That's kind of fun. Anyway.
Funny. Don, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
So with the Magic Word Podcast, that was Don Weinberg, Scotty Allen.
She dropped me off the first time. I found myself. Then in 74, she came to stay with my brother.
Ah, there you go.
You remember my wife, Lori?
Hi.
Mr. Williams.
So, with Jeff Bibby.
Hey, Bibby. Scott Wells.
Good to have you over here then.
Yes.
So this was your, which, 50 years and counting?
51 years, 50th anniversary.
Yep.
The year was 1974. When my buddy's parents drove us to Colin, Michigan.
Yeah.
Dropped us off. We stayed in this lady's porch. It's $5 a night. There were 6 cots.
Yeah.
The 4 of us from Detroit took up 4 of them. And then the other 2 was some kid from Hamtramck, Michigan, Al.
And
his little brother, Joey.
Is that
and,
right?
That's how
that
we
when
met.
You first met Al?
Yep.
David, when was
across with
him. When was your first Abbott's?
73.
And Al, you were started, you were just saying.
Jeff and I were here in 1974, first time.
Well, mine weren't continuous. I've only been here maybe 10 times total.
Only when they pay him. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, getting paid for this? You really? I thought I was paying to be here.
Damn it. What did we think of that?
Oh, well. You have a particular memory. I want to ask, let me ask you first of something that has been outstanding. It didn't necessarily have to be on the stage, but Debbie Boardman asked me to ask people about this. And also, she put together like an archive. I wanted to find out, like, from people who have attended for a while, what is it that kind of stands out?
I can tell you.
Oh, tell me, Al.
He hated me.
Yeah. Well, I can understand why. And has that changed?
A little bit.
No, no.
Could ask me that question. Yeah. I didn't like Al when I met him, and I didn't know why. And now it's 50 years later. I still don't know that. I still don't like him, but now I know why.
Well, we broke in behind the fence and went up onto the dam and levitated Laurie.
That's true. Yeah.
Really?
What year would that have been? Oh,
I have no idea.
The '80s.
And the interesting thing is we stayed in town. We never got a motel anywhere. The first year we lived on, we were on Mrs. Bidwell's porch.
I told that story already.
Oh, you told that one? Yeah. Well, I'm just confirming you're not lying.
Well, all right. Yeah.
When did you tell us?
$5.
Put your story straight, guys.
$5 for an army cut. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she had a little pug dog. Just the cutest thing. So we stayed there 3 years.
At least, yeah.
And then after that, every year we say $5 a night.
So when you come, you haven't always been entertainers, so you've had to stay someplace. Like, I assume you stayed in some houses, or
we stayed in houses and cabins by the lake, and I couldn't tell you where. I usually wasn't in charge of that, and I couldn't tell you where I stayed.
In a van by the river, right?
Yeah, in a van down by the river. Well, the first time I came, my mom dropped me off with a pup tent in the dairy field and left. She went to Wisconsin to visit her sister. It was me and another kid from Cincinnati. I was 12. I didn't know this other kid. So we went our separate ways, and I found Tim Wright, 16-year-old Tim Wright, and I followed him around like a puppy the whole weekend, and he introduced me to everybody and showed me the ropes, and it was the greatest weekend.
Was he already working for Abbott?
Yeah, he was
at 16.
Well, I don't know. He seemed to know his stuff. He was jumping up on stage and demoing things.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because I know he was young when he worked here. I just didn't realize.
I remember there was a Canadian documentary. Remember that documentary that was made about Abbott's?
I do remember that. Yes.
I was there with the crew, and I was pointing to the crew. I was like, follow me. And I was taking them around. Watch this guy, Jose de la Torre, and Carol Fox,
gosh.
And Tim Wright. And I was.
We had his color changing knives.
Yeah.
Jose de la Torre. Do you?
And that wasn't that long ago. Was that like 10 years ago or something?
I think so. Five.
Yeah. What? The documentary?
No,
the 70s.
Oh, no. That's a different one I'm thinking of.
That's a different one. There was an early one.
Was that National Geographic, or was that a different one? Because there were a few back then.
I was a kid. No.
Well, there was some online thing like about 10 years ago that was relatively new that was done. It was kind of cool.
Was it House of Cards?
No.
Okay.
I want to say like Truth or True or something. It was one word.
Michael Mode would remember.
Probably so. Michael's pretty good historian on that. So was there a show or something that you had seen here when you were young? Do you remember?
I can't remember any specific. I just remember watching Neil Foster, and I had no idea how that silver ball was moving around. And then he did a lecture, and it just opened my eyes. And I remember asking him questions, and he was so kind. And Carol Fox pulling me aside as a kid and teaching me how to do sponge balls. And my first trick I bought from Hank Morehouse at the elementary school. Yeah.
Well, you didn't take Chavez like Al.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I have a great memory of the Abbott's convention. I don't register in advance usually, so I never know where I'm going to be sitting.
Yeah.
And I was about five or six rows back when Blackstone flew the light bulb out
right over your head?
The audience, right above my head.
Wow.
That was so magical. My nipples are hard right now just thinking about it.
Great.
All three of them.
Yeah. No, it was fun.
You're special.
Really
your
amazing.
Mom said you were.
Yeah. And that was cool. Blackstone was cool.
Well, it's been a good convention here this year. I think we had a great show this evening. David did a great job. With Mike Caveney and Piff Closen and Mac and David Williams.
I just remember Wilma and the organ music. It takes me back. So I love the fact that John's here playing the ham organ music. And it takes me back, you know.
Yep.
Live music. Well, guys, thanks very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Scott.
The Magic Word Podcast with Scotty out. The evening show is over, and we've just had some fun talking with some of the guys there with Bibik and Al and David Williamson. And one of the people I wanted to talk with, unfortunately, I got a chance to see him, and that is our past international president of the IBM. That's Mr. Chuck Arkin. Hey there, Chuck.
Hey, Scott. How are you tonight?
I'm fantastic. So now you can kind of take a break. I've noticed you've got a different badge or a different medal you're wearing now. So
yes, the past president from the IBM. And it's such a wonderful new shift in focus. I can have a little more balance. I don't have to go to 20 conventions a year anymore.
You don't have to, but you can
cut it down a little bit. But yeah,
you're the person I see most often whenever I travel around with the conventions.
it was fun, and we had such great support from all the board members and the committee members. So lifetime experience. Just love it forever and just cherish all the moments.
Well, tell me about some of the things that were highlights, that places you visited or people that you met or clubs that you visited.
Certainly. One of my favorites was Ring 401 in Barcelona, Spain, where although most of the lectures were in Spanish, even though some of the lecturers spoke English, I was just enthralled with all the creativity. Rather than them purchasing built props, many of them were building their own stuff and creating their own ideas rather than off-the-shelf works, which is wonderful. Yeah,
is that because of they're poor, or they can't afford it, or it's higher price than they can afford? Or
I think it's twofold. One is economic, and the other is you don't have the amount of magic suppliers in Spain that you have here in the States.
They got them online, I guess, but they still have to pay to ship and everything, and it's expensive.
Right, right. And when you have many of their shows, if they're making illusions or they're producing illusion shows, they're doing it with illusions they built themselves. So and they put a little different twist to it.
Okay.
So it's more creativity, more their own personal touch rather than reciting the lines that were in the how-to instructions.
Right, right. Just doing it verbatim the way that it comes out of the package.
So that was great. The British Ring Convention was fantastic. I went to Eastbourne for the British Ring Convention. Went a little further north for my first Blackpool Convention, which was just totally amazing. But honestly, the favorite conventions is the IBM convention. Winter Carnival, always amazing.
Yes. And next year is going to be his 50th. Maybe it's last. Tom Vorjan said, I think he's kind of finished, going to be organizing it. I mean, might have to pass on to somebody else.
Well, I hope they continue it because they always do a great job.
It's going to be a blowout next year.
It's a challenge. Yeah, there are so many regional conventions that have popped up. It's harder to compete.
Yeah, that's true. And so anyhow, I interrupted. You're saying that that was another good convention that you enjoyed going to, the Magi Fest, you said, and the...
Magi Fest, actually, I was registered for, but we had a death in the family, so I had to skip that.
Okay.
Rolled over, but I went to Blackpool for the first time.
Yeah, that's it.
And strong, strong talent. Magic Live, of course, went to last year. So to see the wide range of smaller conventions, the smallest convention I went to was Wonder Bash, up in Michigan, that had 23 magicians in attendance. It was Trino.
Wow.
Trino runs
Trino
it.
Puts it on,
and it was more for working professionals. So it's nice to see the wide range of size conventions. I went to my first Abracadabra, Steve Daly.
Not been to one of those yet.
Phenomenal convention. Yeah. Everyone's treated like family.
Yeah.
So the important thing is whether you go to a large convention or a small convention, you got to reach out and meet new people and get new friends. And that's one of the biggest joys I had over this past year. Met a ton of new people and just shared friendships.
And that's one thing you can't do over social media. I know a lot of young people say, well, I don't need to go to conventions because I can buy things online. I can have forums online, interact with other friends and see things. But there's nothing like being here. I have talked with so many people who would ask about some of their favorite memories. And their memories are not of so-and-so working. I remember seeing this guy do something on the stage.
Right.
Almost everyone to a person has said, it's the people I have met, the camaraderie, the jokes, you know, the opportunities I've had to spend with this, or the chance moment that I happened to rub shoulders with this guy or that gal, you know, that actually changed their life and their course of magic, you know?
Yeah, so much of the convention is smaller groups jamming, sharing tricks, and sort of giving hugs to new friends. I mean, I had a picture that I printed out of the IBM Board of Trustees from our mid-year convention in January. And I looked at it and said, this is not a board. This is family.
Yeah.
And all the various conventions I'm going to, it's more like family reunions.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Well, you have been coming to this convention for how many years, you think?
This is number 5. I started late.
Okay.
But
what memories do you have of this that have been outstanding?
Matt King and Lance Burton. I mean, and...
It's funny because they've been regulars the last few years since you've been coming.
Yeah. And Joan Caesar has honored me with the opportunity to be one of the judges with you and a few others. And to see some of the growth. Bryn Cummings as an example.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
People starting out small. The young kids, they're getting them on stage. They're introducing them. They're making them feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And then over the years, you see them growing and blossoming, which is phenomenal.
That's true. We have that. Bryn Cummins is a great example of that, in which we've seen her on AGT.
Yep.
Doing her ventriloquism act and moving on up. And she was great. And I remember when she had competed here and was, mm-hmm. It's knocked out of the park. You could tell she's going places.
I remember a couple of years ago, I think it was a year after she had won here, I saw her and her mom at the Abbott shop, and I asked her, are you going to compete again this year? And with the most innocent-looking expression, she said, no, I think it's appropriate for other people to win.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well.
So I'm being called away over there. So thank you very much, Chuck.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Good to talk to you. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Chuck Arkin. Scotty out. So, one of the people that has been coming to Abbott for a long time, all the way down from, I started to say Duluth, Minnesota. That's not right. You were in Grand Rapids. Where are you?
I'm in Columbus, Ohio.
Columbus, Ohio. All the way from Columbus. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of another place. So Columbus is not too far.
No.
From here, what is it, about 2 hours? I got Joe Hanasek with me, by the way. Joe, hi.
Hi, how are you? Good to see you.
Thank you for the beer.
Yeah, cheers. Sure. Cheers.
And so I didn't hear a clink.
There we go. Perfect.
So it's what, about...
I think 3 hours and 45 minutes or something.
Now, I was thinking Randy Vanderwall lives up in Grand Rapids. That's where he is, I believe. And, but that's not too far then at all to come over to this. So you've been coming then, obviously, for a long number of years.
Just a few years. My friend Wayne Wisner, Wizardo, yeah, and Dimitri and Jim Matthews invited me a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And I had a good time, so I've been coming back the last few years. So it's
things remain the same, but some things change. I was just talking to Debbie Borden earlier about the fireworks. It used to be after the Saturday, sometimes Friday and Saturday shows, they would have a fireworks display. So after the show, you can stand outside and watch all that. And I said, so we're not having that again, this year. She said, no, not since before COVID. Like this last time we had, they said insurance is like $1,500, let alone the fireworks and everything else, So I said, unless you got some extra cash laying around, we're probably not going to do that again.
Right. We'll have to stop at Phantom Fireworks on the way and bring our own.
But then there are other things that have remained the same, like people coming over here to the Legion Hall, afterwards and everything.
Yeah.
But some of the shows that you have seen, since it's only been a few years, rather than a long history of it, what is it that makes you keep coming back?
Well, this is more like a family kind of get-together, really. Yeah. It's very intimate, I think, right? You get to spend a lot of time talking with people and telling stories.
And has there been somebody that you have seen or a story you've heard or something that's influenced you or it's a show that stands out in your mind? It's like, oh, my gosh, this was a memory.
Oh, well, you're just sitting up in the house late at night listening to these guys. The older fellows tell stories of being professional magicians back in the 70s and 80s when... they had a show in the St. Thomas or something, and all their props got lost. And, different stories from the road, I guess.
Stories from the road, that's true. And if you don't live that lifestyle, it's interesting to hear inside of people sharing these stories with each other.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So you hear those like when you're sitting over there here at the Legion, I guess.
Right, yep. And just very, socializing and having a couple beers and nachos and French fries and good food. And
all the bad kind of stuff that we
should be eating. Right, exactly. When we go back, we'll be on vacation. Salads, right.
Well, I think the show here this evening was really good.
Well, it was hilarious. They had that continuity, the $20 bill all the way through. And
now, that was something I've never seen before, and I don't think they've ever done before anything like that either. I mean, not just here at this convention, but those guys, they just happen to be together, and I'm sure they're probably sitting around like that telling stories to somebody. Hey, wouldn't it be funny if we did this? Because that's part of my show. And then the next guy, what happened was, for you who are listening, they used the same volunteer and the same bill, and they had each signed the bill. So, because Matt King started off and had this guy, Jim, sign the bill. And then he said, well, I think I'll sign it too. So he did. And then next thing, Mike Cabney did.
Right, Mike Cabney started
Mike was the first one. That's right. He was emceeing.
Yep, in the cigar. Yep.
Yeah, in the cigar. And then third one was, I believe, is that David Williamson? That I believe had borrowed it as well.
That's right.
Ended up in a hairball inside of Rocky Raccoon's mouth in the end. And then Fifth, the Magic Dragon, had something that was in a dog food.
That's right.
So each time it's been signed by different people. I'm wondering if that guy's been hunted down saying, hey, I'll give you $50 for that bill.
Right. You know? Oh, yeah. That's a good souvenir.
Yeah.
But it was funny because, just a few hours before, we were over at the church hall having the meatballs and the corn on the cob with David Williamson and Matt King, just kind of hanging out. So it's fun that way.
That was kind of funny because I was planning on going over for spaghetti and meatballs, but that's not what they had.
Right.
So explain what was on the menu.
Corn on the cob. They had some meatballs, some mashed potatoes, and had a lot of desserts. So I think I had a couple desserts.
And barbecue sauce.
And barbecue sauce.
On the meatballs and mashed potatoes. It's kind of like, I think they decided, what have we got left in the fridge?
Right.
Stuffed over from the last time we were here.
Well, that's kind of part of the charm, really, right?
Well, that's true. Yeah. That's true. Well, Joe, good seeing you again.
Good seeing you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the beer and thanks for the words. Okay, I'm glad you're enjoying the convention. That was Johannes Eck, Scotty out. One of the people who is a regular attendee here for a lot of obvious reasons, because of Blackstone Island is here, and so she comes to see the island, just make sure that everything's all okay. No, I've got with me Gay Blackstone today. Hey, Gay, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine. It has been such a terrific day today.
Yeah.
I mean, it started out with, for us, we went to Aventurama. I mean, we have a three-year-old with us who has never seen shows.
Yeah.
So the fact that the Aventurama, he asked for her to come up, and instantly there was not a pause. She was on her way up. She helped him. And then at that point, at the end of it, she did a bow.
Oh, that's good.
I mean, it was hysterical. It was absolutely hysterical.
When I saw her in the evening show and she was watching Pip, she was just so mesmerized.
Absolutely. Although her favorite part of Pip was the assistant. She loved the lady in the yellow feathers and the whole thing. She's that was it. And she's met her since then.
Yep.
But then she just had a chance to meet Mr. Pebbles in person.
Mm-hmm.
And we have wonderful pictures as she's talking nose to nose to Mr. Pebbles.
Yep.
And it was great. So this is her first magic convention ever. Actually, this is not a magic convention. That's a misnomer. This is a magic get together. It's very different from any other convention in the world, for that matter, because it is. It is a get together of a lot of friends. And it just happens to also have some sensational magic. The show that we saw tonight, I mean, that's not a show that you'll find many places in the world. You had all Vegas performers in it and, all working together and doing bits together and callbacks that were just created for tonight's show.
They came on the stage and helped each other. And
oh,
stuff.
It's absolutely. Funny. Just, and they created things to just work tonight.
Just for the show. One off.
Yeah. So you'll
never happen again.
Never, ever happen again.
Well, that's why I encourage people to come to conventions live, because that way they get to experience things that you're not going to experience online, or you're not going to get to experience by even going to a magic shop and hanging out there. You just need to be with some people like this, because you said you're going to not only see some fantastic shows, but you're also going to get a chance to meet a lot of fantastic people and rub shoulders. I mean, as you said, Piff's just sitting right over there. I mean, a lot of people are just
I was just telling his fiance stories from years ago, long before he was Piff, of spending time in London late one night when we had a rickshaw race, rickshaw races, several of us going to the vodka ice house. And
oh, sure.
And unfortunately, that was during the period when Piff was still drinking. Hmm. So he doesn't even remember parts of it.
That's
so
funny.
Yes. But it was. And because I had arrived in London from L.A., and this was the same night when, you know, and I said, oh, I'm not going to stay up late. Well, 11 o'clock at night, we're at the Soho House having some dinner. And I said, I want to go to the Vodka Ice House. And they all went, What's the Vodka Ice House? They knew nothing about it. They said, you came in from LA and you knew about it. So we did. We had the races to get there at a wonderful evening. And, you know, so much of what we have here are friendships through the years, truly friendships through the years. So, you see people here that you don't see anywhere else in the world.
I think that Bob Lund's headstone said it all when it says among friends.
Yes.
You know,
absolutely among friends. And we have a friend here from California, and someone said to him, oh, welcome to the family. He said, I am part of the family. I said, no. He's talking about the magic family. Yeah. It's a great big world, and it's a wonderful world.
Yeah,
and this is the epitome of it here.
Everybody embraces each other.
Yes.
With love and warmth and sharing.
Yes.
And everything. And so the things that I've seen is some of the lectures over here have been fantastic. Now, most times the guys will say, if you happen to see me during the convention, I'll be glad to sit down and share things with you. Well, here you can't avoid seeing them and asking them, and you got something to talk about then, you know, with what they you just saw in their lecture. And Axel Hecklau gave a great lecture with some fantastic ideas on gypsy thread and on a cut and restored rope that has changed my act already, just thinking about some minor tips he's given.
Yeah. I mean, that's all part of what it is here.
Yeah.
It is people helping each other.
Yeah.
And it's not even helping. It's just in discussions and ideas. I mean, it is a major think tank for a lot of different things and a lot of different directions. So,
now, because you and Harry have been an integral part of this for such a long time, do you remember a particular show that you guys performed or did here? I mean, this one this evening was something I remember, but there's something that.
Well, we were here. We work Thursday night was our night, and that's why it's continued to be because
It was all just Blackstone night, or were there other people on the bill?
Sometimes it was all Blackstone, sometimes it was other people on the bill. Sometimes we were off early the next morning to go into Atlantic City to be working there Friday and Saturday, you know. Mm-hmm. So it depended on, it was everything from we did the entire show to we did 5 minutes, you know. Yeah. But it was something, and we made it, we missed the year we were on Broadway. And then we missed.
Which is the longest running magic show over there, right?
Yes. We still hold the record for that. And then it was also, we missed 96 because we were working in Las Vegas and couldn't take off at that point. So, but other than that, we were here most years for at least one day.
Okay.
Sometimes the whole family was here for many years for every day, you know, and it was, I mean, the kids consider this home.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. They really do consider this home. I mean, we also had Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous come and follow us around here.
Robin Leach,
even though we told him what it was like here, did not believe it until he was here.
Yeah.
You know, but we've done that. We have done all sorts of, we had People Magazine come and do things with us, shoot us 1 year here, you know, as we were picking corn, you know, and doing these things, you know. So, you know, it is a version of home. It's also a place where I think the kids were able to feel very safe. And they still, it's still a different safety factor here than you find in much of the world.
Well, I remember Greg Border said this is like Mayberry comes to Vegas.
Yes.
Vegas comes to Mayberry, you know, basically, because there are a lot of these Vegas acts that are coming here, and this is like Mayberry RFD, you know, with Opie. And
So
it is a lot of fun, and everybody does really feel safe. Don't need to lock your car, you know, or anything. It's just, and
people, I love the fact the locals, they only lock their houses during Magic Week.
Is that right?
I'm not even sure if most of them get around doing that. But
I think it's also interesting about how many people who are coming from outside the area knowing this is Magic Week. I was just having dinner at Turley's. The people next to me said, so you're a magician. Can you show us something? That's why we came.
Yeah.
I said, well, sure. You know, and they're not afraid to ask, and magicians are not afraid to show. It's like, of course we will.
Yeah.
You know?
it's a whole different feeling here. Yeah.
Plus the Amish, you add that element then too.
Oh, and the Amish always want to see tricks.
Yeah.
The Amish love magic.
And I'm glad you said that, because some people might think, oh, they're backward, it's a different religion. No. But no, they're human beings. They love to be surprised and fooled.
And also they understand entertainment.
Yeah.
They understand that what we're doing is not meant to be anything else but entertainment. We're not part of the supernatural. We're not anything. We're doing a card trick.
That's right.
We're doing something that's just a trick. And
I wondered about that. I was going to ask you. I left early then, and you hung around after dinner after we had performed a little bit of magic, and I did psychokinetic touches, and that might have been a little bit creepy. Did they get pretty good reaction? What did they think about that? Did you hear any comments?
I didn't hear any comments afterwards. I mean, they loved the entertainment in general.
Okay, good.
So, yeah, and that's also part of it, you know.
Yeah.
And as I said, when I was commenting, the Blackstone family and the Yoder family have literally worked together since 1926. So it's been almost 100 years that our families have interacted.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. You know, so it. Yeah.
Well, it's always good to see you, and I'm glad we got a chance. We've been hanging out together. We didn't spend enough time. We only spent a month together in France. So we're ready
to spend more time.
And we are, and I'll be seeing you as the guest of honor coming up at Magic Texas just at the end of this month. I'm so excited, aren't you?
Oh, I am overwhelmed and excited beyond belief. Yes, I can hardly wait.
If you were going to ask people to come, what would you say?
Oh, I would say this is not good because you have four groups that are joining together. Nobody has done that. It makes such sense in this day and age. You have four groups. You have the people that are going to be competing for FISM. So you have looking into the future. You have the Dallas Magic Club celebrating 100 years. You know, you have the SAM, which has been around since the early 1900s. And then you have the Texas Association. So I say it's not going to be like anything else. It's going to be so sensational. And I think it's going to be fabulous. And I can hardly wait.
There we go. The great endorsement. Be there. MagicTexas.com. Gabe Blackstone, thanks very much. For the magic word, Scotty out. Thank you very much. Many of you might recall the conversation that I had with Terry Evanswood some time ago, probably about a year ago or so, in which we took a tour of his magic manor, and I've had a lot of comments, positive comments about that. Even while I've been here at the Abbott's Get Together, some people have said to me, two people have said it's my favorite podcast, but I've got with me right now. It so happened, came up, I started to say from Chicago because you were from Chicago.
Originally.
But you brought your dad over with you then as well. But then up here from Pigeon Forge, I've got Terry Evanswood. Hey there, buddy. How are you, Terry?
Hey, wonderful to be here. Thank you for catching me.
Well, I'm surprised that you got a little time off here.
You know, when I first, this season, when I first arranged a contract with the theater in Pigeon Forge, I said, here are the dates that I can do. But these dates, I'm going to be with friends.
Yeah.
So, it's Abbott's home week.
It is. And I remember last year, whenever we got together, that you were just going into your 25th year. So now you're into your 26th, I assume? Now?
Actually, we're in our 28th. Lost some years somewhere in there. But 28 years now.
Okay. Boy, has it been that long? Maybe just time has flown by so quickly since we did that.
It happens. And I've heard the same thing that you did. Several people have come up to me and told me that they listen to your podcast.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to know that you're making a positive influence on the magic community, and people do listen to what you have to say and what you need to share.
Well, as are you. And that was what Lori was one who told me, Al, the only's wife, had said that whenever that she's walking, she felt like when she's listening to that podcast, that she was walking through your museum in your house.
Wow.
But as she's walking, it's kind of like you said, okay, here's such and such. You hear the door open and then something else happens. And as we're describing it, it's kind of like, you know, she's walking like I'm there.
Be honest, because I'm such a visual person, especially obviously being a stage entertainer, you know, everything is about the lighting and the sets and costuming and the visuals. And I didn't really know the impact that your work would have being only audio. But it's fun to hear the amount of people who comment that exact observation that they can picture things as you're describing it.
Just like whenever you're on the radio, I've always felt like that when in a podcast, when I'm talking, I have to describe something as if I'm trying to describe an elephant to a blind person.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
So one of the stories then also that has come up a couple times on this podcast yesterday, and that was a story that you had talked about where that a woman was going to, she had fixed up herself and she was going to go home and commit suicide, and you had changed her life and saved her life. That story you talk about also in your show.
Yes.
Yeah, and that was one you had shared on that podcast too, but real briefly, so you want to...
Powerful story.
Yeah.
Did you want me to share that?
Yeah, if you don't mind. I know that,
I was performing at Magic Beyond Belief, which was the third theater I performed at in Pigeon Forge, and a woman came up after the show and asked if I had a moment for a story, and she shared with me that previously that year, she had been under the impression that she was an unfit single mother and that her daughter, 5-year-old daughter, would have a better life with anyone but her. And she decided for their final family vacation that she would take her daughter to Pigeon Forge and let her see and do whatever she wanted to. And thankfully, her daughter picked the magic show. And I say thankfully because in the show, I do a routine that was designed for my mother, who just passed in this last January during the downtime. Her favorite song was Vincent's song, some people know as Starry, Starry Night by Don McLean back in the 1970. And I designed this act. In the song, it sings about Vincent van Gogh, who, of course, was the artist who took his life. And in the lyrics of the song, the lyrics say, "When no hope was left in sight on that starry, starry night, you took your life as lovers often do. But I could have told you, Vincent, this world was never meant for one as beautiful as you." The point being that in the middle of a magic act, she heard a suicide reference, and it kind of woke her up. At the end of the show, I give a little speech. You know, some people think it's kind of a motivational speech. Some people in the South refer to it as a testimony. About the things we should be thankful for, that just being in my audience, I know just by the audience being there that they have certain things. I know they have some health because they're there, and they have happiness. They picked a magic show. They have friends and family, and because no one's there alone, they have food on their table and a roof over their head because they bought a ticket to a magic show. I know that that they have freedom. They're living here in America. So there are things that I know about them. Even though I don't know them intimately, I know these things about their lives just because they're sitting in my theater. And these are all things that we can be thankful for, and all things that none of us earned. They were just free gifts along with the life that we've been given. So I give this what I would refer to as a motivational speech, a moment of appreciation of what I call the real magic of life. Well, because of that reference in the song, kind of opened her ears and she listened to what I had to say. So she changed her mind on the way home. And she got back home and ripped up the suicide note and flushed the pills. And she joined a church and she told me that God told her to become an artist. Now she creates religious art. It's just an amazing part of the story that I think the point for our listeners today is that we never know who we're talking to. We never know who we're in front of. We don't know what someone is going through in their day, and words carry weight. Words have started wars and stopped wars. The human voice has so much power. And we have to be careful the words we choose and the things that we say, especially in front of children or children's entertainers. You know, we have an opportunity to not just entertain, but to change lives.
Yeah. Well, awesome story. Thank you very much for recounting that, because I've told that poorly. And I want to hear from the originator over there, because again, we've told it. I know you tell that on a regular basis, but it's just as meaningful, and you're saying it with as much passion as the first time I'm sure you ever told it. And,
thank you.
Even though that you've got that down, it's still, I know it comes from your heart every time you say it.
It's important to me. And it's also important to point out that it's not something I did. I was very lucky to be a spoke in that wheel.
Yeah.
The wheel has to spin, yeah, and it takes all the spokes to do that in anything that we accomplish or do in life. And I was very fortunate to be a part of that, to be able to bring that story full circle.
Well, that's one of the things about this convention. I think about how many lives that each of us have touched. And this is the epicenter of that causes ripples to go out. And you never know where that ripple is going to end up in changing a person's life. Maybe not as dramatically as what the story you recounted, but certainly where somebody may decide to go on a different path in their life that will be make them a better person, you know, by having a smile or whatever.
Absolutely.
You never know how you're going to, and it's not necessarily the magicians helping other magicians, but also like the people here who are laughing and they're, you know, having a great time.
Yeah.
They're going to be taking this memory home and living with that for a long time and telling other people, and that's going to have ripples saying, "Oh, I need to see a magician sometime."
Absolutely.
You know? So always do the best you can. It's kind of what
that's
I'm
it.
Saying.
Absolutely.
Because you never know where it's going to go.
Right. You never know. And you know, I never knew where this whole career of mine was going to go you know, it was my folks gave me a magic set for Christmas one year, and I just took to it right away. My father, who was a suit and tie guy, you know, when I said I wanted to be a magician when I grew up,
yeah,
you know, most men in that position would say, well, yeah, that's a nice hobby, but he's not going to encourage that.
Yeah.
Well, here's my father says, is that what you want to do? And I said, well, yeah. And he said, is that if that's what would make you happy, then that's what I want you to do.
He was 40.
Yeah. And he was incredibly supportive. He built a lot of my first illusions, and he took me to see Harry Blackstone, and that sealed the deal. When I saw Junior perform the lad, and one appeared in my head, and I thought, you know what? I made a lifelong decision at 9 years old, and I never turned back. In 1985, my mother took me to Abbott's for the first time, and I got a chance to see these legends like Norm Nielsen and gosh, everyone who was here.
Carol Fox
and Ab Dixon and Neil Foster and all the greats, just made Jay Marshall, just such an impression on me. And here we are so many years later coming back, and it's such a moment of nostalgia for me, especially this year, because my father has joined us. So he's here. It's dad and lad trip again to Abbott's, just like the good old days.
Well, I want you to introduce me to him.
I would love for you to talk to my dad.
Yeah. Well, Terry, thanks very much. I appreciate your time. It's always
great.
A friendship.
Great to see you. Likewise.
It's great.
Keep making magic, guys.
The Magic Word Podcast. That's Terry Evanswood. Scotty out. So as Terry was just telling us a moment ago, that he wouldn't have been here without the support and encouragement and transportation of his father, Bob. That's Bob, you said, with 1-0.
1-0.
Yeah. And he's here with us right now.
I've had to hear that joke my whole life.
Yeah.
Bob with 1-0.
And here he is, Bob Evanswood. Hello, Bob. What part of Chicago?
Actually, we're from Joliet originally.
Okay. Yeah.
And we relocated to St. Charles, Illinois in 1971 for job change. And
You're no longer the warden there, I guess.
No, not anymore. Although I knew the warden very well.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
Joe Reagan very well.
Okay. So he let you out on good behavior.
He let me out.
So you've encouraged and been helped Terry to really follow his dream, I guess. Being a magician since he was very young, when did you really kind of recognize that he's got it? He has that. I mean, as a parent, we all love our children, and we're thinking, of course, they're cute and they're going to be great. But there had to be something in Terry's life early on in your life. You're going to say, you're going to make it, son. And you encourage them.
I think one of the things was the comments from families that he entertained, especially birthday parties.
Yeah.
When you'd hear from the parents how well he did and how the children enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And then his success with the Chavez College of Magic and his...
Did you take a Chavez class here in Colon? Or
unfortunately,
Neil Foster?
Neil had just passed.
Oh.
I missed him by a year, so I studied under Chris Jakeway in Battle Creek.
Okay.
So he took a bus every... I don't remember how often it was.
Every week.
Took a bus every week to... From our town, buses, I think.
Yeah, my dad would drive me to the nearest train station, Geneva, Illinois, and take the train downtown Chicago.
He'd get the bus.
Walk 7 blocks.
So Marshall Brodeen lived, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yeah. Walk 7 blocks to the Greyhound station, take the Greyhound 3.5 hours to Battle Creek, where Chris would pick me up, do the course, reverse the process, do my schoolwork and whatever had to be done and shows and the weekends, and then reverse the process and do it all again. So I didn't like the bus ride 3 hours there and 3 hours back every week, but now I'm thankful for it because that's where not only did I practice my sleight of hand, there was nothing else to do here. The only thing we had back then were Walkmans. Kids will have to look that one up, what a Walkman is. But I had my mixtape, and on the tape was my mother's favorite song, Starry, Starry Night. Yeah. And it was because listening to that song and working the cards, something felt right. And I just started developing the card act to go with that song.
Right.
That ended up saving a life.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it all goes back to the Chavez College.
And I really feel that the turning point in his mom and me as his dad, the turning point was when it was – time to think about college, going on to a higher education, and what he would do with his career job, what kind of a job he would have. And when I mentioned to him that you're very good at what you do with the magic, but if you get a college education,
right,
get a degree in something,
right,
it would be something good to fall back on if the magic doesn't work on a full-time basis. His response was, Dad, the minute I accept the fact that I might fail at what I want to do, I'll fail.
I would have, if I have something to fall back on.
That's right.
Then, if times got tough, I would fall back on it.
And then you would never go
but
back.
But if I don't have something to fall back, I have to make magic work.
Yeah, or else.
It was a tough sale, but.
We acquiesced and, all right, we're not going to force you to go to college.
Yeah. Well, so at what point, Bob, would you say that you were the most proud? I mean, is there a particular contract or some place where he was working or?
He's still waiting for that moment.
I mean, you looked at him and said, that's my boy. And I'm so proud of him. And I mean, I know you do that every day now, but I mean,
well,
at some point.
I think playing the Magic Castle on his 21st birthday.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That was a thrill. And my wife,
you got to be part of.
We were there and a good friend of ours, animator Ward Kimball came to see him. He was one of Walt Disney's main guys. And
one of the original animators for Walt,
original nine old men, as they called him. He actually was the man who created Jiminy Cricket character.
Oh, really?
And did a lot of the animation work.
And he was a friend of ours. And but when he had been booked to play the Magic Castle. And when they found out that he wasn't 21, they canceled him out, but then agreed that he could actually perform on his 21st.
When he turned 21.
The same day.
Yeah.
So that was a kind of a turning point. He's an adult. He's 21.
And you said
he's playing the Magic Castle.
Yeah.
That everybody wants to perform at.
And that's when you're really proud. You knew, okay, he's going to make it.
My wife and I were there, and it was very... very thrilling.
And then when he went to Pigeon Forge and later on?
Well, that's another story, too, because he had quite a bit of success in just traveling, and he had a truck that kept breaking down, but he was doing a lot of shows through variety attractions, and there's a couple others. I don't remember the names
Howard
of them.
Schultz, agency Howard out of Schultz. Chicago. A lot of agents booking us for various road shows, circuses, and colleges and
summer festivals and what have you. But it was really discouraging to be traveling so much. You know what magic props are.
Yeah.
Tearing them down, loading them in a truck, tearing them up, taking them
all together,
bring him, dragging him in a theater, putting them all together, be sure everything will work, doing the show, take them apart again, put them, and then the truck breaking down. And he said, Dad, I want to find a permanent place where I can load in once and it's there. Yeah.
Well, postpone the show.
Yeah,
you know, so, when we were doing the road shows, we were happy to have 5 minutes to wash your hands before the show. I wanted a place where I could hone the show. We could, when you're doing the road shows, we could never make it perfect. It could never, you know,
conditions changed.
Right.
On every one. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, when he thought about looking for a permanent home. He thought of Pigeon Forge because we had camped many times with our family and with a friend of mine and his son in Fall Creek Falls State Park, which is about 2 hours from Pigeon Forge.
Yeah.
So when we camped there, we always went to Pigeon Forge, which had at that time Silver Dollar City.
Or as my dad called it, Steal Your Dollar City.
Steal Your Dollar.
Which is now called Dollywood.
Right. Same thing. Which was recently flooded, I understand. Yes. But anyway, he started researching areas that did not have magic and discovered that Pigeon Forge had a lot of country music, but no magic shows at all. So he decided that he would go to Pigeon Forge and give it a shot. And anybody else that would have experienced what he did in the first... oh, maybe 3 or 4 years would have quit.
Yeah.
But they did what you call restaurant runs. going down to restaurants, giving people brochures,
table
to table, and here's a 50% off, you know, the kids will be free, whatever
work
to get them in, and started with a morning show. A morning show with donuts and coffee.
A 10 o'clock morning magic show in a country music nighttime. Yeah,
with about 12 people to begin with. So anyway, but through his hard work and ingratiating himself with the not only the people that kind of run the area.
Yeah, the community.
The community. And then gaining fans with people that go to Pigeon Forge every year or more. I can't believe,
but I've got to give credit where credit is due with my dad, because, you know, the stick-to-itiveness to go through all that and keep my hopes up and not give up is because of what he instilled, my mother and father instilled in all of us kids, that we're not quitters.
Yeah.
You keep working. And if you believe in something, you have a dream and you have a passion for something, then you don't throw it away. Mm-hmm. You beat the street until you can make it work. Fake it till you make it is what we were doing.
Yeah.
That's something I was instilled in me from home.
If you, in my opinion, if you interview 10 people about their job, if they're getting, you know, close to the retirement they've been through, ask 10 people if they really did what they wanted to do at some point early in their life. 5 will say no. I just got this job. I got married. I got kids. I got raises. And I grew up in that job. And it really wasn't what I wanted to do in my career.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he had a chance to.
And I try to encourage people, especially the young people listening. Now, I believe you have to have an education. What I did was a huge risk. I'm not going to tell you not to pursue a further education. That it's not a safe approach. But I will tell you, whatever it is, magic or otherwise, this life is not a dress rehearsal, folks. We all have one shot on this magical merry-go-round. And if you have a dream, then you should go for it. There's something that makes you happy. This is the time to do it.
You are a prestidigitator with platitudes, with a plethora of platitudes. So thank you very much. I appreciate getting to talk with both of you guys. Thank you, Bob. Pleasure meeting you.
Nice meeting you.
Good advice. Too. Okay.
Thank you.
So the Magic Word Podcast. That was Terry and his dad, Bob.
Abracadabra.
1-0.
Scotty out.
Okay.